I am here today not just because I need your help, although I do, but I'm here because the country needs your help. Yes. A lot of you got involved in our campaign in 2008, and we came together not because of me. We came together because all of us shared the feeling that we needed to reclaim the basic bargain that built this country, that created the biggest middle class that the world had ever seen. We came together because of a shared belief that in America, your success should not be determined by the circumstances of your birth. If you're willing to work hard, if you're willing to take responsibility, you should be able to own a home. You should be able to send your kids to college. You shouldn't be bankrupt when you get sick. You should be able to retire with dignity and respect. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you look like, no matter who you love, no matter what your faith, here in America, you should be able to make it if you try. That's why we came together. And back in 2008, we had a sense that Washington had strayed away from these basic values. Think about it. We had a record surplus that was squandered on tax cuts for people who didn't need them and weren't even asking for them. Two wars fought on a credit card. Wall Street speculation reaping huge profits for a few, while manufacturing was leaving our shores and a shrinking number of people were doing fantastically well, but more and more people had to get by with falling incomes, even while the cost of everything from college to health care was skyrocketing. We saw the slowest job growth in half a century in the decade before I took office. And then it all culminated in a house of cards that collapsed in the most destructive financial crisis since the Great Depression. In the last 6 months of 2008, while we were campaigning, our friends and neighbors lost nearly 3 million jobs. Over 800,000 more were lost the month I was sworn in. So even as we were in Grant Park that night celebrating, as much hope and possibility as we felt on that cold day in January on the National Mall, we knew we had our work cut out for us. And so we had to take action, bold, swift action, and sometimes it wasn't popular, to prevent another depression. And we understood that the road to recovery would not be easy. We knew it would take time. We knew there would be ups and downs. We knew there would be plenty of stubborn opposition along the way. But we also knew this. If we were willing to act wisely and with unity, and if we were persistent and we stayed at it, if we were willing to roll up our sleeves, if we were determined not to quit, then we could come back stronger than before. And I still believe that. Nothing has shaken my faith in that belief. In fact, the American people continually confirm it for me because they are strong and they are resilient. I know America will come back stronger, and I know our better days are ahead of us. And I believe that because of you. You guys give me faith. It's been tough, but the American people are tougher. And so while some people were saying, let's go ahead and let Detroit go bankrupt, we said, let's make our bet on the American worker and on American businesses. And as Governor O'Malley said, GM's number one again, and we are coming back stronger than before. You had small business owners that I had a chance to meet who would describe for me how they, you know, well, I love you too. I love you back. But small business owners who would decide, you know what, I'm not going to lay off my workers even though it means I don't have to take a salary this year because I know that families are depending on me. We don't quit. We keep going. You saw people who'd been laid off from their jobs. And at the age of 50 or 55, they go back and retrain for a new job in a new industry. Don't quit. With grit and resilience and innovation, we're fighting our way back. And so, just like we didn't let Detroit go bankrupt, not only did we save the auto industry, but we're actually seeing better cars made, which allows our auto industry to be on top of the world once again. Doubling fuel efficiency standards on cars so that you'll get 55 miles a gallon in the next decade. That'll save the average family $8,000 during the life of a car. So not only did we prevent liquidation, we're actually coming back stronger than before. The same is true when it came to manufacturing. You know, manufacturing is now hiring at a faster pace, investing in America again, consistently, adding jobs for the first time since the 1990s. Businesses starting to get back to basics. The private sector creating nearly 4.3 million new jobs in the last 27 months, over 800,000 jobs just this year alone. Now, does this make us satisfied? No. Not when we've got so many folks who are still out there looking for work. Not when so many homes are still underwater. Not when so many states are still laying off teachers and first responders. This crisis did not happen overnight. It will not be solved overnight. The fact is, job growth in this recovery has been stronger than the one following the last recession a decade ago. We've recovered more effectively than most other advanced nations. But the hole we have to fill is deep. The global aftershocks are great. And that's why we've got to keep pressing with actions that further strengthen this recovery. We've got more work to do. We know that. Now, what we also understand is the last thing we can do is return to the very policies that got us into this mess in the first place. Not now. Not with so much at stake, Baltimore. We have come too far to abandon the change that we fought for these past 4 years. We've got to move forward to the future we imagined, where everybody's getting a fair shot, and everybody's doing their fair share, and everybody's playing by the same rules. And that's the choice in this election. And that's why I'm running for a second term as President of the United States of America. We've got more work to do. Now, my opponent in this election, Governor Romney, is a patriotic American. He's raised a wonderful family. He should be proud of the personal success he achieved as the head of a large financial firm. But I think he's drawn the wrong lessons from these experiences. He seems to believe that if CEOs and wealthy investors like him are doing well, that the rest of us automatically do well. When a woman shared the story of her financial struggles in Iowa, he gave her an answer out of an economic textbook. He said, well, our productivity equals our income. And the implication was is that people are having trouble paying the bills because they're not productive enough or working hard enough. Well, those of us who've spent time in the real world know that the problem is not the American people aren't productive enough. You've been working harder than ever. The challenge we're facing is that for over a decade, harder work hasn't led to higher incomes. Bigger profits at the top haven't led to better jobs across the board. You can't solve that problem if you can't even see it. Now,